seated.
Ooh. I popped. There we go. I unpopped. All right, if you would get your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, we have finished the book of 1 Chronicles, and at the end of 1 Chronicles, what we had seen, it's kind of a changing of the guard. We saw David as he's kind of passed off the scene as king, and he has died at this point, and Solomon has taken over the throne. Solomon gets off to a good start, and that's what we look at in chapter 1 of 2 Chronicles. We find that David has left him in a very good position. David has left him with every advantage available. He's left him with riches and material. He's lined up as far as those who would be serving and serving as priest and serving in the military and serving in all aspects. He's basically just lined everything up for Solomon. What we find is taking place in chapter 1 and verse 1. The Word of God says, Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom. Now, this takes place after a particular incident. If you look back in 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles does not record this instance. So therefore, I draw your attention to it back in 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. And down in verse 13, notice what the Word of God says. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably." He said, "Moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And she said, "Say on." He said, "Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit the kingdom is turned about and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not." And she said unto him, "Say on." And he said, "Speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife." And Bathsheba said, "Well, I will speak for thee unto the king." Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. She sat on his right hand. Then she said, "I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay." And the king said unto her, "Ask on my mother, for I will not say thee nay." She said, "Let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife." King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, "And why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine elder brother, even for him, and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah." Then King Solomon sware by the Lord, saying, "God do so to me, and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord lives, which hath established me, and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day." And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. Here, I want you to notice that Adonijah tried to get Abishag. Now, you remember Abishag was David's, I guess you could say, foot warmer. She kept his feet warm, but she was a beautiful lady. What was the problem with Adonijah asking for her? If Solomon had granted that request, Adonijah being the oldest, he would have been marrying one that was given to David, and it would have made his right to the throne even strong once again. Therefore, Solomon had him killed because he was basically planning treason. Therefore, when he was killed, the kingdom was politically secure in Solomon's power. And what the Word of God tells us in verse 1 is that the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. In other words, God exalted him. Solomon did not exalt himself. Notice here, it was God that that exalted Solomon. Self-exaltation is bad. We all should know that. And if you try to exalt yourself, let me tell you something, you're cruising for a bruising as far as spiritually speaking. Listen to what a few passages of Scripture says over in the New Testament. Over in Mark chapter 9 and down in verse 35. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 35 in the Word of God we read that Jesus said, He sat down and He called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all. And servant of all. So if you want to exalt yourself, the Lord says you're going to be last. Listen to what it says over in the book of James chapter 4. In James chapter 4 and down in verse 10 in the Word of God we read there, humble yourselves in the sight of God, of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. If you humble yourself, God will lift you up. If you exalt yourself, the Lord's going to put you down. So what we see is Adonijah tried to exalt himself and he ended up dying. Solomon humbled himself and the Lord exalted him. That principle rings true in each and every life. Here in 2 Chronicles, what we find is that Solomon seeks to sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, where does Solomon go to sacrifice unto the Lord? There's basically three options here. If you were king, what would you do? Let me throw the three options out to you. One, there is Gibeon. Gibeon's about 6 miles away. You remember at Gibeon is where the tabernacle is still at. There are priests that are still ministering in the tabernacle at Gibeon. This is the tabernacle that Moses had built. You find it over in 1 Chronicles. Let's just turn there real quickly. In 1 Chronicles 16, we had just read about this not too long ago. 1 Chronicles 16, and down in verse 39, Zadok the priest and his brethren the priest before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon. They were serving still at that tabernacle after all these years. That's the first option. You can go and sacrifice at Gibeon, 6 miles away. Or there is Jerusalem. Now you remember David had moved the ark from the house of Obed-Edom and he moved it into Jerusalem. You could sacrifice at the ark where there was a tent and the ark was at. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 1, the Word of God says, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent, and David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. Look also down in verse 37. In verse 37, so he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the ark continually as every day's work required. So there's two places there. What is the third option? The third option would be where the plague was stayed on the threshing floor of Ornan. And you remember that's where the temple was going to be built. Look over in 1 Chronicles 21. In 1 Chronicles 21 and down in verse 28, the Word of God says, at that time when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusites, then he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering, were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go there before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. So there's three different options there as far as where Solomon and the rest would go to offer up sacrifices and seek the Lord's face. Now I want you to notice over in 1 Kings chapter 3, follow along very closely with this story. 1 Kings chapter 3 and down in verse 2, it says that only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. So we see Solomon's choice was at Gibeon. He went there because he liked to worship at the high place. This was the way of all the other nations, the pagan nations. They desired to worship in high places. So here's what one of the reasons David did not want to go there and offer sacrifices. Notice here what the Word of God goes on to say. In verse 2, Solomon spake unto all of Israel. In 2 Chronicles 1, to the captains of thousands, of hundreds, to the judges, to every governor in all Israel, and the chief of the fathers. So Solomon, all the congregation with him, went to the high place that was at Gibeon. Now he chose Gibeon to go to. What would you have chosen? Just kind of curious. Don't blurt out. For there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses the servant of the Lord had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. They went to it. They went seeking after the Lord. Now, let me relate this just a little bit. You have a choice where to go worship. You could go to Gibeon, you could go to Jerusalem, or you could go to that threshing floor. You know what? You have a choice where you go to church. How do people choose where they go to church? Unfortunately, a lot of people choose based on fleshly reasons. One of the things we talk about in the new members class, which we offer, is what kind of church did the Lord start? We go in depth with that. You know what? You could stay at Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the closest. Jerusalem is the most convenient, especially when they're offering up literally 1,000 sacrifices. That's a lot of sacrifice. That's a lot of meat going up in flames, you know? That's a lot. It would be most convenient just to stay right there at Jerusalem. People are happy, joyful. That's where the king's at. That's where the ark is at. It's the closest. Probably got good music. Boy, that's a good place. Or you could choose to go the old status quo. Go to Gibeon. That's where we've always gone. Might as well not change where we've always gone. Even if some things ain't right, you know, we'll still stick around. You could choose that. You could go to the threshing floor. Think about the threshing floor. Threshing floor had nothing. They hadn't built the tabernacle yet. There was no spotlights. There was no dancing. There was no music. There was the threshing floor. But if you think about that threshing floor, what you find, there's no programs. But it's clear that's where God last met King David. You know what? You go where the Lord meets you. You go where the Lord is. You go for the purpose of worshiping Him. The main thing is that you got to understand there is no perfect church in this world. But the Word of God commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. What I would recommend, if anybody were asking me as far as what church would you recommend if I move away to another city, blah, 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 here's what I'd say. Make sure they're Baptistic in doctrine. Make sure they preach the Word of God. Make sure they teach the Word of God. Make sure the Word of God is central as far as in how they minister. Make sure it is a church that loves the Lord and loves people. When I say loves people, I mean not just the saints, but lost people too. There is a balance there. There is an old saying, I think it was done by a young preacher a few years ago. You've probably heard it said before. I've heard it said before in plenty of sermons. It's like this: to dwell above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, well, that's another story. It's not when we seek where God's at, it is not preeminent that we go where people are. We must go where God is. We must seek the Lord our God. Here is what Solomon and the congregation are doing. They're going and they're seeking after God. This is an incredible amount of sacrifice they offer unto the Lord. 1,000 sacrifices that they're having to cut up, that they're having to prepare, that they're having to burn and consume. What this shows is that Solomon, at the beginning of his ministry, and this congregation that follows him, the chief leaders and princes, they have a sincere and pure heart. And God is looking for that as far as people to worship Him. Those that are sincere, they're not putting on a facade, and those that are of a pure heart. God observes the heart. It's not the outward look. It's not how pretty you can look or how good you can smell. God looks at the heart. Listen to what it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and down in verse 8, the principles are basically the same. The Word of God says, "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." You must be sincere in seeking God. In seeking God, you must seek truth. Here, they are seeking the Lord. That's what we're reading about here. And as they're seeking the Lord, the Word of God says that they went up to the brazen altar. That Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, had made. Now, you know when this was made? Roughly about 400 or 500 years previous to this. This piece of furniture from the tabernacle had been around for 400 or 500 years. And you know what it did? That's where they sacrificed. They continually offered sacrifices for 400 or 500 years. That's a lot of sacrifices that were there. They're seeking God. They're sincere in seeking God. The Word of God tells us, "Seek the Lord while He may be found." The Word of God says, "Seek and you shall find." Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, down in verse 29, the Word of God says, "But if from thence you shall seek the Lord your God, you shall find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." You know what? That's a principle that's in the Old Testament, and it's a principle still true in our day and time. When you sincerely seek the Lord your God, you will find Him. Listen to what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and down in verse 10, the Word of God says, "Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice that seek the Lord." In 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and down in verse 14, 2 Chronicles 12 and verse 14, the Word of God says, "And he did evil." Now this is Rehoboam. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. We're learning this principle in God's Word that we need to seek the Lord while He may be found. In Psalm 34 and down in verse 7 or verse 4, Psalm 34, hang on a minute, Psalm 34, I think it's Psalm 37. Yes. And verse 4. What does the Word of God say there? Psalm 37 and verse 4. This is for you and me. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord your God. And what will He do? He'll give you what your heart desires. Listen to what it says in Psalm 105 in verse 3. In the 105th Psalm, down in verse 3, the Word of God says, "Glory ye in His holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." In Hosea, we just went through that book on a Wednesday night. In Hosea chapter 10 and down in verse 12, the Word of God says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." Here's what Solomon's doing. With the congregation, they're seeking the Lord. The congregation sought unto it. Where did they seek the Lord at? I want you to notice here in verse 5, if you don't listen, you missed it. Where did they seek the Lord at? At the brazen altar. What happens at the brazen altar? That's where the sacrifices were given. Where are they seeking the Lord? Where the sacrifices are given. What is the sacrifices pointing to? It's pointing to the great sacrifice of the Messiah, the cross. Here is the place of atonement. They're seeking the Lord at the place of atonement. Here is where we seek the Lord our God. It's through Christ in His atonement. There is only one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. We must come to Him. And I want you to notice what happens here as they seek the Lord. Solomon goes to sleep after all this big fanfare. And in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, what it says, when he went to sleep, he had a dream. And God revealed Himself in that dream. God came to Solomon. "Seek the Lord and He shall be found of you." That's what Solomon does. God came to him. And it says in verse 7, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon. And He said unto him," listen to this, what God says to Solomon, "Ask what I shall give you." Now, if God were to come to you and say, "Ask me anything you want. What do you want?" What would you say? $1 million? Get out of debt? What would you say? What would you ask for? If God were to ask of you one thing, "Ask of me," what would you like? What would you ask? Listen to what the psalmist said once again. We just read it a minute ago. Psalm 37 verse 4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." You know, here's how to get your prayers answered, is delighting yourself in the Lord. And you delight yourself in His will, and ultimately that He's glorified. What He's going to do, He's going to grant your request. There's a problem that we have, that our prayers don't get answered. But I want you to understand, God answers prayer. Here in John chapter 15, listen to what it says down in verse 7. In John chapter 15 and verse 7, the Word of God says this, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Now notice there is a condition here to answered prayer. You've got to abide in His will. That goes hand in hand with you got to desire Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. When your delight is in Him, He's going to grant your request. When you abide in His Word, that means you're delighting in Him. He's going to grant your request. Listen to what it says in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5 and down in verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, we read in the Word of God, "And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will," anything according to His will, He hears us. "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Here's how to get your prayers answered. Solomon answered. Notice what Solomon's answer is. Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let your promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. And here's his request. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. And for who can judge this your people that is so great? There are so many people. So he asked for wisdom and knowledge, very simply to do God's will for where God's placed him. And you know what? That's a good request. Not the best request, because there's something better I think he could have asked. But notice God's response to his request. In verse 11 and 12, God said to Solomon, Because this was in your heart, and you've not asked for riches, you've not asked for wealth or honor, nor the life of your enemies, neither yet have you asked for long life, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I've made you king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you. And on top of that, God says, I'm going to give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before you, neither shall there be any after you that have the like. God says, I'm granting your request. God gave him the desire of his heart, because he desired to rule God's people with wisdom and knowledge. Now listen to what the Word of God says in James chapter 4. In James chapter 4 and down in verse 3, the Word of God says, You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. When you ask amiss, here's how to ask amiss. You ask for your own desire. You ask for something that you personally want, and you're not delighting yourself in the Lord. You want to consume it for yourself. Here's how not to get your prayer answered, so to speak. I guess there could be a sermon with that. You've got to delight yourself in the Lord. I want you to notice here, Solomon had been faithful in a little. And what God did, God blessed him with much. And when God blesses materially, let me tell you what he's doing. He is testing you spiritually. If God gives, it's a test of your spirituality, your relationship with him, your desires. What do you do with what God has given you? What did Solomon do? I want you to notice what Solomon did as God blessed him. I said there is one thing that's better, and I'm going to tell you what that better thing is in a minute. But I want you to notice what Solomon did. In verse 13, Then Solomon came from his journey to the high place that was in Gibeon to Jerusalem, from before the tabernacle of the congregation, and reigned over Israel. He gets back in Israel, he starts to reign, and Solomon gathered chariots. He gathered horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, which he placed in chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. The king made silver and gold at Jerusalem, as plenteous as stones. Cedar trees made he, as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn. And the king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And they fetched up and brought forth out of Egypt a chariot for 600 shekels of silver, a horse for 150. And so brought they out horses for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria by their means. What Solomon did, he added. But listen to what it says back in Deuteronomy, back in the law, in chapter 17 and verse 16. The Word of God says, But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. What God had given Solomon, Solomon turned and did directly opposite of what God said he should do. He was not obedient with the wealth that God had given him. Selfish ambitions, or are we seeking God's kingdom? God answered his request, and it was good what he requested, but how he responded was wrong. Alexander McLaren, an old preacher from back in the 1800s, he said, "Surely the deep longings of his father for communion with God would have been far better." Isn't that true? Because Solomon, you know, he didn't end up as good as he started. I want you to listen as we close in 1 Kings chapter 3. Look over in 1 Kings, the third chapter, and down in verse 1. "And Solomon made an affinity," or an agreement, or a pact, "with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David, until he made an end of building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. He married a heathen woman, an unbeliever, the daughter of Pharaoh." Look in chapter 11 of 1 Kings. In 1 Kings 11, in verse 1, "But Solomon loved many strange women." That means foreign women. Women that were not of the covenant, that were not Israelites, unbelievers. And it says, "together with the daughter of Pharaoh." You see, what he started, he continued to do even on a grander scale. Women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "You shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clave unto these in love. He had 700 wives, or princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. And it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as with the heart of David, his father. Look down in verse 7. Then Solomon built an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. You see what happened to Solomon? It only started with just a little bit, just the Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter, that's okay, just one. And then another, then another, then another. And what it led it to him into idolatry and worshiping false gods. Here, the wisest man, God endowed him with wisdom, but he also gave him a superabundance of things. You know what's the ruin of most Christians? Is the superabundance of things. Because then they start ruling our hearts and our lives, and we do not delight ourselves in the Lord our God as we ought. Therefore, we do not get the desires of our heart that will glorify God. Sometimes God gives us what we ask for, and it's not best for us, that he might teach us. He gave the children of Israel, remember, the quails. You remember, as they were eating that meat, the flesh did rot between their teeth. Boy, sometimes God will give you over to the desires of your heart to teach you a lesson. I pray that we can learn from Solomon. This short passage of Scripture, just 17 verses, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. He started out so good, but look how he drifted and drifted and drifted. And you know what? He started down a slippery slope. That's all it takes. Just a little sin. And a little sin becomes big sin over time. That's what happened in Solomon's life. Wisdom is a good thing. You ought to get wisdom with all you're getting. And you ought to have knowledge with that too. But let me tell you, God's going to hold you accountable for that which He gives you. May we serve Him with a whole heart. We're going to give a hymn of invitation. And if you're not serving the Lord with all your heart, I pray you make things right where you're at, and surrender your all to Him. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we learn lessons from the life of Solomon. And though he was wise, he was far from perfect. Lord, we do cry out for wisdom. And we pray that that wisdom which comes from above, we would continue to seek it. And not seek the wisdom of this world, which is sensual, earthly, and devilish. Lord, help us to seek You with all of our heart, that we might serve You with all of our heart. Lord, we pray that each and every one of us in here would surrender all to You tonight, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord."